Sports Hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
This is turning into a regional conflict, which does pose a threat to the security of the United States.
Only Iraq can save Iraq.
Fighting for Idaho. No,
there was at least one shot fired within the car.
He started to get down, but the officer still approached with his weapon drawn, and he fired several more shots, and my friend died.
Fighting for you.
What the heck's going on with the world? You've got Gaza. You've got Iraq. You've got Syria. You've got the Christians being slaughtered. You've got the Chinese. Am I leaving something out? Oh, the border.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
That's a lot of ding-dongs.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And before we get to Dave Pezzo here at 580 KIDO, we go to Ron Paul Jim about the proposed breastfeeding law. Hello, Ron Paul Jim.
Good morning, Kevin.
How are you?
I am just fabulous. How are you?
Living the dream.
Awesome. Well, what my comment was is that this sounds like another one of these attempts for the status to impose more of the state's will on the private sector, just like the anti-gay, the lesbian, whatever, transgender law that they didn't want anyone discriminating against, but all they could come up with was anecdotal evidence that they need protection. And what they all have in common is that they want more government intrusion into the personal and private privacy of others. And this seems to be the trend. You see these attacks that there was an orchestrated effort with the, suing all the bakeries and whatnot, trying to bring attention and awareness and all this stuff to something that nobody even cares about, that doesn't exist for the most part. And it has more to do with they're treading on the Constitution more of the privacy of individuals. And it seems to be a common thread running through all these news stories. It's a trumped up, imaginative way of creating more intrusion and more power for the government.
Well, yeah, you actually heard the lady where she was talking about it's private property. They could ask us to leave. Yeah, look, get you and your breasts and get them out of here.
Well, they could ask, and they could say, I don't think so. And if they wanted to, raise it up, it's probably going to hurt that business more than anybody else for that individual, making an issue out of it. But I could see, if somebody was drunk and disorderly in a business, you would have the right to, But after you pass a law like that, you've gotten the precedence that government can tell you what you can and cannot do on your private property.
And we're seeing that all the time. Ron Paul Jim, thank you for the call. Dave Pezzo, any thoughts on the proposed breastfeeding law here?
No, I don't have any thoughts on it.
No?
Sorry, no.
You're not touching that one.
I'm not going to touch that one, no. I just think that leads down a path that I'll regret whatever it is I say.
Well, it's kind of like being here with us, It's a path you may or may not regret.
Yeah, I think we make an awful lot of noise about it, about things like that. I kind of agree with the caller here. It's really, do we need another government law?
Apparently, these folks in Idaho believe that we should.
I understand, but I thought it was interesting. Had a great show on Saturday. I'm going to jump over to that because I think it relates to this call.
Well, before that, maybe breastfeeding in the markets. Everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, I thought you had a great call and an interesting discussion about...
That crew?
Well... I know that can be hard, but it was an interesting discussion you all had about the police state, I think is what you called it and what the caller called it. I thought it was a really excellent point that the caller made, and I thought it was an interesting thought. So really, do we want more laws? Do we need more regulation on something like breastfeeding? That's all.
Well, you're a big fan of regulation. Okay, enough of the silliness here at 580 KIDO.
Dave Petzl with us, talking a little bit about news about your money in the markets and the like. When we take a look at where we are here, we're starting to get some reports here. We've got this big, great job news that everything's wonderful, that the economy's rebounding. But you talk to people on the street, Dave Petzl, and they say not so much.
No. As a matter of fact, what was the NBC, Wall Street Journal, NBC News poll came out with, 64% of the people still think we're in recession. That's a huge number. I mean, it's amazing that we're not in recession, okay? But here's the point. Number one, people are very negative. You and I have talked about this all endlessly for years, right?
Right.
That how negative we're wired as human beings. So no matter how good it is, there's something wrong, and we're all about to die, and that's a normal human condition. However, when you look at it, and you and I have talked about this as well, the difference between Wall Street and Main Street is astronomical, and that's where people lose it a little bit. It's tougher on Main Street than it has been on Wall Street because the world is still growing, albeit slowly. The big corporations cut out a little bit of fat, and bang, all of a sudden they're super profitable. And that's exactly what has been going on. We're not in recession, period. But it is certainly not as good on Main Street as it should be, Kevin. It's really not. This government has been impeding at every turn with more and more regulation, with the health care laws. All these things have really slowed down any kind of normal recovery, and thus we have the slowest recovery, but it is a recovery, slowest recovery in history.
Well, the scary part about it is we have not yet begun to feel the effects of the Affordable Health Care Act.
That's correct. We really
have. Because everybody's gotten a waiver.
Correct, except I will say that I still think that there's been one major effect already, and that is on hiring, because people are not going to get that magic number extra people so that they have to be covered under the law.
I take a look at that, and I think to myself, what's going to be the impact when all of a sudden these waivers go out the door after the midterm elections?
I'm afraid it's really going to be a big detriment when you think about how much money is going out, how much taxes have been waived, and we just print more money, so it's okay and it's magic. But what's really going to happen when businesses have to pay the money, the fines, whatever it is? I don't even know what it is you pay now. I have no idea. Does anybody really understand the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I don't think that the people that even brought it in understand it.
No, it's clear the White House doesn't understand it, but I didn't know if there had been some experts somewhere, because every time I hear conflicting things, like we're going to do penalties, we're not going to do penalties, the IRS is going to be the policeman of this. No, they're not. That's just ridiculous. We can't do that. I don't know. I really don't know where we're at on this.
580KIDO, Dave Petzl with us as we continue on. We talked about this a little on Saturday as a teaser for today, and the idea of China as a market. And mm-hmm. Here we have a report a couple weeks ago from CBS, 60 Minutes, saying that they're building cities where no one lives, and now they've kind of hit a glitch in the road, if you will, just based on the fact that they limited you to buying one unit, which caused the property values, I guess, to really depreciate. Now you have unfinished cities in China with nobody living in them because everybody has bought them for investments, yet they're, just like a lot of things, we have a lot of fancy places here, and yet not a lot of people can afford to go to them.
Right, right. Well, it's true, and they have not filled them up yet. There's no doubt about that. There really are some empty cities over there. But the real estate crisis over there is different. It's very, very different because over there you don't have the kind of leverage we had here. So when people – and it's a normal thing. It really is normal to equate what we know and extrapolate that to what's going to happen over in China. Here's what we know. We went through this huge bubble here. Everybody has three homes. You can borrow money. Liar loans are out there. You can get reverse amortization. I mean, things that seem laughably ridiculous were going on huge here. But you can't do that over there. There isn't that kind of leverage. There's a lot more cash in the transaction. And then people also, just to give you another example, talk about the shadow banking issue in China. Because, if we say things like shadow banking, do you know what shadow banking is, Kevin?
I have no idea.
Right, okay. You know what? 99% of the people that talk about shadow banking have no idea what the heck they're talking about. But it sounds kind of mysterious and scary, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, it's really something we don't want to have to deal with. Shadow banking, like there's CIA agents hanging around the corner. Shadow banking over there is not a big issue, but it's a very tiny, tiny part. There's more shadow banking here, meaning non-conventional. That's all it means. Non-conventional banking.
Unregulated?
No, not unregulated, although it can be. I don't suppose there's real regulation with the mafia, but there isn't a whole lot of lending going on there either. But you do have non-conventional sources, finance companies, private investors, things like that, that are considered to be in the shadow banking area. That's still very, very small there, especially compared to GDP. It's a small part of debt. Even if you use the wildest, highest assumptions of how much shadow banking there is going on there, it's very, very small. But it scares people. It's a good, scary word, even though people don't know what they're talking about.
Right. But again, so we have this shadow banking. How does that impact people here? And is it true that we're so tied to China that all of a sudden if something happens bad over there, it means bad stuff for us here?
It does mean that, Kevin. But that's true of if Europe is having issues. We're going to have some spillover from that. When we have an issue, the world slows down. Why? Because our economy is not growing as much. If their economy is not growing as much, we're not going to be shipping as much goods and services over there. And there isn't as much wealth, quotes, in the world, and the wealth effect, the multiplying effect throughout the world. So if China's having a problem, of course that affects Europe even more than it does the U.S. But also Europe and the concern of their slowdown, especially with the fighting going on with Russia, if they shut off the natural gas, that's a big problem for Europe, and that therefore would be a big problem for U.S. corporations as well.
Dave Petzo with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Remember, you can always catch Dave at the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, Petzo Incorporated, the Petzo Institute. Of course, Saturdays here, 8 to 10 at 580-KIDO. As we get ready to start the fall, schools coming back in session, still a lot of unrest going on in the Middle East. Are we going to see a rise in fuel prices?
I don't think so. I think we've got an abundance of energy right here. We'll see if we can, the problem is trying to get it from the fields and into your gas tank, Kevin. That is a real problem because this administration has done everything, and they've done a very good job of blocking any pipelines. And so now we have to ship everything by truck and by rail car, but it's coming, but it comes slower than it should. But that gives us a buffer against any incidents in the world. I just don't think energy prices are going to go up much at all. Now, that being said, if things escalate in the Middle East, if Russia decides to shut down its spigot, then of course it could. But right now, the way it looks, it does not look like any of that's going to happen. In fact, it looks positive, more positive than it did a couple weeks ago in the Middle East.
More coming up with Dave Petzo next, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely in our time.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, money for nothing, your chicks for free. Oh, if it were only that easy. Dave Petzo with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580-KIDO. So, I mean, when we take a look at some of the big companies, are you surprised that Microsoft is laying off people?
Yes and no. These big companies do, from time to time, get to a position where a division or two or three are such slow growers or even are negative growers, and they really need to peel those back. It takes time, and so they begin the layoffs, and they can occur over a long period. Take HP, for example. As these companies grow and grow and grow, they reach a point where some divisions are not profitable anymore, and they really do need to shrink them up, spin them off, do whatever, just get out of that business. And so they do tend to try to find the right size of that company. So, yes, it does not – I mean, it's disappointing in a growing economy, and as good as Microsoft has been starting to do, it's a surprise from the standpoint of, I thought Microsoft was starting to go, do well again. The answer is yes, they are, but this is part of their new corporate restructure.
Dave Petzo with us here at 580-KIDO. So when we're looking for, safe long-term investments, you hear about this all the time.
Yep.
There is a managed risks regardless of what you do, correct?
There are. Yeah, you have to take risk, period. There is risk. Either there's one of two kinds of risks, basically, okay? And everything else fills in. You can say there's interest rate risk and all those other things. Of course, that's true. But what I'm really basically saying is if we have the lowest risk investments out there, fixed investments, you get no inflation protection, none. So without a higher income stream, it's really as severe as thinking back 20 years ago. what did it cost? How much money did you have to have the lifestyle you have today? Well, the answer is it's far less. Regardless of who you are, whatever you do, wherever you live, you needed far less to live the same as you are today. And that has been true every year of our life. The problem with inflation risk is that it's slow. It's like cancer growing in the body. You feel fine today, Kevin, but you will die if we don't treat it. And meaning you have to take on risk in your portfolio to grow your portfolio. You have to. There is no choice. And I can hear people go, yeah, but. And that's why people float into these horrible products that tie people up and because they just want to believe that they can have stock market returns without any risk. And it's just not true. Your grandmother knew that wasn't true, and she didn't even finish high school.
Have we lost the idea of pensions?
Yes, we have.
Because even pensions are based on investments.
Well, they are. They are, Kevin, but they're based on a promise of a set amount of income for life, right?
Right.
If people were better with money, and it's a big if, and they're not, okay? If they were better, the death of the pension is a very good thing, because then again, what people got was, hey, I get $1,000 a month for life. Well, what's that $1,000 a month worth 15 years from now? 20
sure.
years from now. It's worth a lot less. In other words, you're okay today. Again, you're going to be dead down the road because you're not treating it. You're not letting assets grow. You're not having your income grow. And so inflation is a silent killer, and it really is. But patting people on the head, making them feel like it's all safe today, but you will die 20 years from now, is doing a disservice. And I know people want security so bad in a world they don't understand. They don't understand the social element of our society. They think everything is wrong and we're all going to die and there's too much information out there, so people don't know what to do. When we say things like shadow banking, well, there's shadow banking. People don't even know what they're talking about, but they're running around and retweeting and reblogging and forwarding nonsensical things to each other and scaring the pants off of everybody, and themselves included. I think it's really sad, because the reality is those same people are missing tremendous returns in the markets.
Dave Petzl with us as we continue on here at 580KIDEO. One day we'll get a humidifier here in the studio.
Thank you.
So as most people are coming back from their vacations, what can they expect for the final quarter of the year?
There isn't any reason to not own stocks. There's no other asset class that has any attraction at all. Bonds are miserable with the 10-year treasury below 2.5%. Cash is earning zero, which means it's a negative real return after inflation. So as we look at these different asset classes out there, there's no attraction other than stocks. And stocks have been increasing their dividends. The big corporations of the world have been increasing. As I say that, that's certainly no promise that stocks are going to go higher, because there's always events that happen. And what we talked about on Saturday, Kevin, was I don't know why people think they're going to be able to time the next correction. It's absolutely asinine. It really is. It's arrogant silliness. And worse. I mean, it's just amazing to me that people think they can. All the greats have never done it, never been successful. The Market Timing Hall of Fame is completely empty. It just isn't something people can do. And yet they sit around and wait and contemplate, why would I buy now? How could I buy now? And they've been saying that for thousands and thousands of points in the market. So I think people have to recognize you're not going to be able to get it right. There's a correction around the corner. I just don't know how long the block is before we turn the corner. Nobody ever has, and nobody will, in my estimation, ever know that. And so as we're kind of plodding along and deciding what the market's going to do, I'm just saying, hey, we're going to have bumps and corrections, and who knows what's going to happen in Russia? Who knows what's going to happen in the Middle East? But that doesn't matter. That's just like Rocky Balboa. So you got one shot in. He's going to get up again, and he's going to knock you down. And that's what's going to happen. The market's going to roll to all-time highs. We're going to 20,000. I just don't know when. We're going to go to 25,000. I just don't know when. And that's the reality of the stock market. It is going higher in the long run, and people have to stay and play and tolerate the bumps.
Dave Petzl with us here at 580KIDEO. Finally, for young people in the job markets, what would you advise young people today? I was meeting with some young people. They're full of hope and energy, getting ready to go to college or to do a trade, and the job market is more competitive than it's ever been.
It is, Kevin, and I happened to come to Boise in 1980, which was horrible. The unemployment rate was very high here. There was absolutely little hope. I don't want to say no hope, but it was a really difficult time, to say the least, coming off of Jimmy Carter years, as we all kind of look back. And all you could do is the same thing I would tell people today. Go get a job, any job. Work, keep working, and keep looking. And then your dream job will come along. But if you're not out working, it's almost impossible to get a job, I find. Haven't you found, Kevin? It's like a girl, right? If you have a girlfriend, then girls seem to be around. If you don't have a girlfriend, you can't find one.
Profound insight today.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, jobs are like girls.
That was Dave Pezzo from the Pezzo Center. You're right. At 580 KIDO. Anything else?
No, I'm good. You want anything else? We can keep going.
All right.
You're fired up.
I know. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Good morning. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Kevin.
Hello. Bonjour. Buenos dias.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hello to all the children of the world.
Heidi-ho. United States, the United Nations, we're all about it here. The ever-inclusive Big Tent, Big Show mornings at 580KIDO. Do want to remind you, coming up, we will be going back to the schools, thanks to our friends at CAPED for making that happen, and that'll be when school starts. How can you believe that school is just around the corner? College, high school, middle school, elementary school. In fact, some schools around the country right now are starting today, so kids, or as we like to professionally call you, children's, you don't have it so bad here in Idaho if you're not going back till the end of the month. Of course, still time to get in the great summer vacation, still time to go work on the farm, still time to do a lot of things. In fact, heck, Congress is on vacation. You believe that? Congress is on vacation, a five-week recess. Now, do you know of any profession that gets so much time off? Think about it for a minute. Then the United States Congress. Well, I know what you're saying. There's the administration as well. Now, how many of you have ever worked in a factory? Think about that. You know what I'm saying, that you're judged on how many widgets you make an hour. And the more widgets you make, the more money you make, right? Right? What happens if you don't make any widgets? You don't get paid. Wouldn't that be great for our Congress folks? To Fly Bry with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Hey, today would be another day for that cold ice bucket challenge going on. Be a nice hot day to do that.
Well, I'm with you. And if you do not follow To Fly Bry or Kevin Miller on Facebook, you can check out 580KIDO's Facebook page. We'd love to get a like there. I replay the challenge to you with the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. You stepped up.
Yeah, and I decided to give Alexander Kincaid a challenge. I tossed the challenge out to my cousin, and he actually took that challenge on a little earlier this summer. In Yellowstone, he came all the way from North Carolina out to Yellowstone and went into one of their very cold rivers and did that. And so he had already met the challenge. I was not aware of that.
Well, you know, Tea Party Bob still has not answered the challenge either.
Well, I think he's got a good hot day today to do that. Maybe he can go down to the river and jump in.
Wouldn't that be great to see Tea Party Bob pour a bucket of ice all over him?
Oh, that'd be awesome. I think we should do it for him.
Well,
perhaps on a Saturday morning at 5 a.m.
You're a lot braver than I am to even suggest that.
Certainly. Hey, our kids are headed back to school today.
Already? So much for the summer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they had an early leave from school, so we homeschool, and we get a good start on it because we have some time during the school year where we actually take a week or two off here or there beyond what normal school, public-private, will do. So it all works out in the end.
Well, any frowny faces because kids are going back to school?
No. Last week they were wanting to get started, like last Monday. They were like, let's get started for school. What's the password for the stuff? I'm like, not until Monday.
Wow, you had to hold them back.
We did.
There's hope for all of us, To Fly Bry.
There is. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. There's our friend To Fly Bry here at 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We were expecting Tanya J. Powers to join us from Fox News Radio, but we'll give her, let's say, 30 more seconds, I suppose. Then we're going to move on because we had a really good topic at 6:30, and there were a couple of them, and we'll reload that topic in a minute. But those of you that are big race fans, whether or not you go to Meridian Speedway or Firebird or one of those places, it happens. People get in accidents. People get hurt. And the death of a young man by the name of Kevin Ward Jr., who got out of his vehicle and tried to confront NASCAR racing legend Tony Stewart. Now, again, if you go to published reports, people, witnesses there say that Stewart, his engine can be seen revving, and his vehicle inadvertently veered into young Mr. Ward. Mr. Ward was sucked underneath and was killed in the process. The sheriff of this little small little racing town in New York says he's not looking at criminal charges, but hasn't ruled them out either.
This is ongoing. There are no foregone conclusions made at this point. We are looking for any information, any relevant evidence that will help us to come to a final determination as to why this happened.
There you have it. But again, and it hasn't been reported too much, but if you look at the tape and eyewitnesses saying that, quite frankly, several questions, will Ward's death cause drivers to think twice about on-track confrontations? Did Stewart try to send his own message by buzzing Ward, the young driver, only to have his risky move turn fatal, which a lot of people were speculating Saturday night and early Sunday morning? Joining us now, Tanya J. Powers of Fox News Radio. And who or which team are you, Tanya?
Which team am I?
You know, when you go to some places, are you Alabama? Are you Auburn? Are you Boise State? Are you Idaho? Who are you?
You know, I have to stay objective here, Kevin. I'm a reporter.
Ah, I tried. I tried.
You tried.
Yep.
That was a nice attempt, by the way.
Thank you. Very good. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of athletics, there's a big ruling that has happened concerning just how folks will be governed concerning the NCAA.
Mm-hmm. There is. This came out on Friday, and it's getting a lot of attention. It's a 99-page ruling, and it actually is in favor of this group of plaintiffs. It's actually led by a former UCLA basketball player, Ed O'Bannon, and in this ruling, the judge issued an injunction that will keep the NCAA from enforcing rules that keep its member schools and its conferences from offering their football or Division I basketball recruits a limited share of the revenues generated from their names, images, likenesses, et cetera, and so on. Basically, what this boils down to is it could enable football players as well as men's basketball players to receive more from schools than they're getting now. Now, the judge did draw the line. She rejected their proposal that athletes be allowed to get money for endorsements. She would not go that far. But this is, you know, this is a hot topic for a lot of people because, you know, you've got folks on both sides of the fence. You've got some people saying, hey, you know, these players don't, and a lot of times they don't get a full scholarship. They need some, you know, help with college expenses. And the other side, you've got, you know, like the NCAA, they want them to stay amateurs.
Well, and that's the big issue. And Ed O'Bannon, it was very controversial for him to bring this lawsuit. He saw himself as a UCLA star back in the day. All of a sudden, there's his likeness, there's his jersey number in the EAA Sports, and I guess it's actually caused EAA Sports to get out of the college football and college basketball business.
Well, you know, and this is an interesting thing because this is not going to affect recruits. The first group that would be affected by this wouldn't be until the ones who were entering school in 2016. So there's still a while for this. And, of course, you've got to wonder, you know, exactly what's going to be going on with the NCAA by then, because last week the board of directors voted to give the five richest conferences more authority to, you know, change some of the rules that could pave the way for giving players enough money to defray some of their college expenses.
Indeed. Of course, the NCAA with their autonomy ruling for the Big Five. It's interesting to see how the balance will continue, Tanya, and how not only, you know, people worry about the athletes, but really the institution itself will thrive and what it means for member institutions. Here's the funny thing, though, that you brought up. You know, most of us think when somebody gets a full ride to college that they, you know, everything is taken care of. It's 4 years, but that's hardly the case.
Well, right, because, I mean, you do have those big-name players and the big recruits and you know, folks that we hear about who almost become, you know, household names before they're out of college. And, you know, they're getting a good bit to go. But, you know, there's a lot of people on teams, and there's, of course, other sports, you know, that they don't, you know, they don't get everything to cover room and board and tuition and everything that they might need.
You have to wonder, is it really fair to have these one-year scholarships, too?
Well, yeah, and especially, I mean, when you take a look at the like the basketball teams, we learn, you know, who these players are, especially every March. We know who the big-name players are, and there's a lot of the whole one-and-done sort of thing. You know, they'll play for a season, a year, or whatever, and then they'll go pro. So, you know, you got to look at that as well, because that happens a lot, especially in men's basketball.
Tanya J. Powers, who will remain objective. Thank you.
Trying my best with you, Kevin.
Take care, ma'am.
Thanks.
There you have it, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News Radio. The first time we haven't gotten anybody to tell us who their team is, all right? 7:48. Kevin Miller in the morning, thank you for starting your day with us. Let's get you to work.
Sun Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:54, coming up next hour, Idaho State Treasurer Ron Crane will join us. He's got some big news, some surprises for us. Maybe he'll be giving us some money. Wouldn't that be great? So we'll talk a little bit about that. And, you know, just the future economically of how the state's going. Hard to believe that we have these institutions that we think are so concrete, whether it's the corporation, whether it's the brick and mortars, whether it's the states themselves or the cities. And yet we sit back and, you know, folks, bottom line is people invest in Idaho. That's how we fund a lot of our programs here. So we will talk to the state treasurer, Ron Crane, coming up at 580KIDO. By the way, something that's interesting. We talked a little bit about this before. We've got the Idaho Breastfeeding Law Coalition, and it's a group of young ladies that they went on Channel 7, and they said that they should be given the opportunity to breastfeed in public. That's right. They're concerned that their rights are being taken away from them. Well, really, what's next? I mean, do we really need a law to, in fact, make sure that people can breastfeed in public without some type of people saying, you know, maybe you should do that in private? Now, how's this for an issue here? I'm not even going to make fun of myself. Shouldn't that be done somewhere else? Do we have to display everything? I mean, whatever happened to, you know, doing that somewhere else? Is that shameful? No! But do you really want to expose yourself in public? See, I think that those places are best served in a quiet place or something, somewhere else. And my favorite is, and whether it's the sitcom The Office or anything else, where you have people breastfeeding or breast pumping in public, why people feel the need to do that. Then you have guys, or even today, hey now, gals looking. Well, what are you looking at? Well, why are you doing that where everybody can see it? I mean, what's really next? What can't we do in public? Do we really need to do anything in private anymore? Do we all have these perceived rights? These perceived rights that if they're not mapped out, well, what do we have to do? We have to pass more laws. Ron Paul Jim mentioned it last hour. We have to pass more laws. And then we have, you know, is it a wonder why during the Obama administration we have had over 400 laws put on the books? 400 laws. Right now, what is it? And these are the federal laws, never mind the goofy state ones. What is it, over 5,000 laws? It reminds me of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Those of you that have been in the military, you remember that. They went over everything that you couldn't do. And oh, by the way, here's my favorite when I was in the military, that if you did something that's not in the book, well, that's against the law too. Huh? But it's not written down. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And as I say, whether it's the border or anything else, my friends, why don't we just enforce the laws that we have? Why don't we start there? Quickly to traffic with Kevin Miller at 5. Oh, pro-life, 7:59. Oh, I don't think I can get you in, brother. Coming up next, we will take a look at Idaho from a business perspective. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Serving Emmett, Idaho.